song title again?
Anda de lo lebi ele du mare.
Is it rolling, Bob?
I forgot the bell. If you hear it, then that was added in by cheating. Okay. So, this is me. Back again, as promised, and from Scarborough Bluffers Park. I said in the very last recording, which I haven't released yet, that the next time you heard from me, and that would be after the series of five road trip podcasts, that it would be from Bluffers. And here it is, Friday, April 7th. I got home last Wednesday, so it has been well over a week without me uttering a word to you, the Dixon Janes podcast listener, because I had so much to cobble together for all the recordings I made on the trip. But you know, I really had fun doing that. The recording part was as always. There's no thinking, no planning, no where will this fit. It's just you feel the urge to turn it on, you turn it on, you hear something on the radio and you record that. And then when I got home, I had an awful lot of recordings. And I went through them in order and anything from the radio I threw into, you know, whatchamacallit, the thing where you do the editing, the fade in, fade out, and chop off this and chop off that. You know, the free one. I just can't remember the name, that's all. And then laid them down in Gap. Jesus Christ. It's been a while, and the brain is fuzzy. You know, the free program that comes with your Apple computer. GarageBand, thank you. And then the last one was only 30 minutes long, and I just dropped that into where all the podcasts go today. But I haven't released it. I haven't put up the links. It's not out yet, and you won't get this. You won't be hearing this until that one has been released to the general public sometime next week. So this is just me getting started again. It's a beautiful sunny day. It started off. My wife's car was covered in snow in the driveway. I had to get up early because it was her early day at work to make pancakes and sausages for the elders. And, sorry, I don't want my McDonald's free coffee to get cold free because I had enough coffees to paste the 7 stickers onto a card. Yeah, so it was snowy, and now, of course, it's melted, a little bit of a wind. The park looks beautiful, and it's definitely back to being spring. It's amazing. Like, I stepped outside today to scrape the snow and everything off her car, and it was winter. Cold and windy and just nasty to the bone. And now, this is it. You know, winter's done. It's over. Oh, excuse me. I'm so sorry. I know that's really offensive for some people. My wife, I never, ever burp in front of my wife. She just finds it absolutely disgusting. I do my best not to fart, too, or if there's sneakers, I'll, you know, get up and walk away as if nothing happened. Anyway, welcome back. It sort of feels funny. It was easy not talking to you that time just because I was hearing myself and I had so much to dish out. But I'm really glad. I really had fun on that trip. I was very much in the now. It was just each day as it happened, and it was not planned. And I know smarter people, more organized people, plan their lives out and say, okay, I'm going to go to Cape Canaveral, or the Kennedy Space Station, I'm going to do this. As my friends Deb and Brent did, they rented a house for, was it a week or 2 weeks, where I stayed. You heard about that in Safety Harbor. And they went places. I mean, they're organized. They know what they're doing. Mine was just totally impromptu. And it worked out best for me. Like, I got to see people. And if I had planned those things, okay, I'll be at your house at this date, or can you put me up on this night, it would not have been the same trip. And part of road trekking really is about spontaneity and just see which way the wind blows, you know? So I hope I got some of that across. What I'm really glad was that I did record a lot from the radio. And I found that, for me, that was just eye-opening, ear-opening. Especially all the Christian radio stations and their need to offer alternative views to what the kids might learn in school, etc., etc. Anyway, let's say that's behind us and we're moving forward now. I promise to keep this short. I have really nothing particular to say except for maybe one observation. And it's one I've made so many times on this podcast and can't seem to shake. And it's that bad habit of comparing yourself to someone else and noticing all your shortcomings in comparison. And I don't know why I haven't been able to get that particular monkey off my back. I guess it came from a visit from my cousin. I have the two cousins I've mentioned. I call one Abe and the other Zeke. And it was Abe who visited from Vancouver, from their lovely home, just returning from Dublin, where he had been stationed and posted to do more work with refugee decision-making and writing up, drafting reports and so on. He's very, very good at that. And then their time off, they will go to fantastic places in Europe. He had another posting to Rome, and they have a house, a wonderful place in Rome. And they are really living on a level of sophistication that is just much higher than mine. And I'm proud of him for that. I mean, it's great. And there's no resentment. There's no real jealousy. I just couldn't do what they do. But I still sort of feel, you know, between my two cousins, wow, I really am the dummy in the middle. And yet, thoughts like that I wouldn't have had at all while I was driving on this trip, because I was doing exactly what I wanted to do in my road trek on my terms. And, I don't know, I just let it get back. But it's the same, you know, you can see something posted on Facebook and suddenly it was, oh, shit, they're having a better time or they're doing more. It's nonsense. I think everybody falls victim to that, people who are weak enough to let that get to them. And it's just plain stupid, but sometimes hard to shake. Sometimes you just get drawn into it. You start having these doubts. And I think that's the nature of my character anyway, to sort of move from one extreme to the other. When I'm right on top of the world and so pleased with the life I've led and the choices I've made and where I've got to, and then bam, you know, in an instant, on the other end of the scale of just, you know, why are things as they are, and I could have done so much better. It must be boring hearing this. Like, it must be, oh my God, dude, can you change that? We've heard this before. And I'm not feeling it now. It's the thing that stood out of my mind of, what am I going to share with you? I'm going to share how, I don't know, how weak I can be sometimes. I guess maybe that's it. Not that I want to, but, I mean, hey, the alternative is bragging, it seems. There didn't seem to be this perfectly calm, happy medium. I was at our men's group on Monday night, and I heard two people say they were at peace. And I thought, that's wonderful. I don't think I can really say that about myself. And maybe it's to do with, you know, the uncertainty of my future. Could be, I don't know. But I'm going to park that. I have been exchanging more and more emails and having more and more dreams about the road trek. The last one was just absolutely chaotic. Somebody called Pedro. I was traveling with Barnacle Bill, because he's the fellow I'm going to be going up to Yellowknife with. And suddenly there's a character called Pedro in, and Pedro gets hold of my road check and is driving it to someplace, and I don't know why. And then it's time to take it down like it was a pop-up road check, and the next thing you know, the thing is flattened to about 5 inches off the ground. And this won't do. There's no way to drive it now. What the hell are we going to do now? And meanwhile, I've got my cat, Yuki, with me, and realize it was a big mistake bringing the cat along. So it's funny. I mean, I love dreams that way. And I toss and turn a lot, so I'll often wake up and the dream is still fresh in my mind. Like I just come to consciousness, you know, the second the dream ends. And so I can recall it perfectly. And God, that was so weird. And I think it is to do with a lot of anxiety things I have to do. I've got to get it dewinterized, and I'm wondering, do I need a screen on the front for the rocks that'll fly up at us? And what else do I have to do? And so on. So that's obviously on my mind. And that's okay. I was talking about going to Newfoundland in June. That was the plan. And now I'm thinking, no, I really, really, really need to be ready for my students coming. I've put it off. I attended a meeting last night and got good results at the school. So it's not that I'm fallen behind, actually, but I'm afraid I was in the habit of letting things slide. And I got to stop that. So I've told myself I may not go to Newfoundland this year. I may go instead next summer and give myself the time I need to fully prepare for my students arriving in July, and then to be ready to hop in that road track and drive out to Alberta to pick up Barnacle Bill and head up to Yellowknife. And what I would want to do, and the plan would be, instead of going away camping for what, you know, would take a few weeks to do it properly, was just make a lot of separate little camping trips around Ontario. There's a lot of camps I would love to visit, and there's different people I might be able to hook up with or not, and just sort of break it in that way and just have a few good camping weekends or days here and there and be able to come back and get things done. So that's where it stands now. If you needed an update, if you did listen to all the road podcasts, thank you. I hope you enjoyed them. I certainly enjoyed putting them out there, and it's, you know, all part of the journey. It's far away, long ago already now, but that's all right. Anyway, I think I'm going to stop here. 12 and a half minutes. I really don't think I have much more to add. I just wanted to get this started, and I'll hold on to this piece. And the next few, and I promise these will not come out till a few days after the Dixon Jane's podcast 615. So this would be Dixon Jane's podcast number 616. I guess that's a palindromic wonder. Can't flip it on its head, but you can reverse the digits, right? All right. Scarborough Dude, signing off from Bluffers Park on this gorgeous spring-like day. Bye for now.
Can't you hear me, Mama, call? Can't you hear me crawling? Can't you hear me, Mama, call? Can't you hear me trying? Can't you hear me when I call? I'm a long way from sight.
Tonight, it's a long, long night. Tonight, it's a long, long night.
Can't you see me, baby, fly? Can't you see me falling? Can't you hear me when I call? Can't you see me fall? Can't you hear me, Mama, call? Can't you hear me, Mama, call?
Tonight, it's a long, long night. Tonight, it's a long, long night.
Can't you hear me, Mama, call? Can't you hear me crawling? Can't you hear me when I call? Can't you see me fall? Can't you hear me, Mama, call? Can't you hear me, Mama, call? Can't you
hielo la habitación. No tengo calefacción. Can get no satisfaction. So me bajo pa' la calle.
It's a long, long night. 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 It's a long, long night.
I'm a long way from home. I'm a long way from home.
Говорит Москва. Работают все радиостанции Советского Союза. Московское время 10 часов 2 минуты.
Yes.
Check, check. Check it. Oh, I guess the bell is in the old track here. It's Saturday afternoon, 4:45. I gotta leave soon. I'm meeting John and Brian at the Only Cafe at 6:30. Maybe Topico Joe might show up, and the lovely Lisa. And it's a glorious day. Hard to believe. Yesterday we had snow in the morning, and today it's just sunny and absolutely such a fresh, beautiful day with clear blue skies. I came out here. I have a little routine that I've even trained my cat into, and that's a little nap after lunch. God, I love naps now, especially. I mean, I just don't have the energy I used to, and just getting up from a chair, starting to sound older. And anyway, it doesn't matter. After lunch, all I want to do is lie down. And sometimes I've had to carry the cat up, but now this time the cat came to the back door and had been out. I say because there was a dead bird on the ground that I know for some people that will just make them so angry, and I apologize. I don't know what else to do. Yes, I could keep the cat inside, but that's not going to happen. Anyway, yeah, sorry I said that. I've been reading this book, Sapiens, History of Humanity or whatever. God, it's really good. I highly recommend it. We had our meeting at church last night to talk about it. We're getting right towards the end. And the chapter that dealt with the food industry in terms of how we treat animals, that we meet their biological needs so that we can fatten them up and get what we need from the eggs, the meat, whatever, but have totally neglected, closed our eyes to any psychological or you know, other needs they may have. And of course, this has been proven through studies that they need certain comforts. And it's all in the nature of capitalism, which isn't inherently evil. It's just indifferent. There's only one thing that counts, and that's mass profit, mass productivity. And man, I just feel ashamed for my eating habits, knowing, you know, how things are treated. In the end, Barnacle Bill... For a long time, he's just said he hates humanity or mankind. It'd be a better world without us. And I don't think you can say that. Well, we've come so far now. Like, you just think of the horror of all the domestic animals that wouldn't survive if we were to die off by some horrific, virus or whatever, an Ebola-type thing that just swept across the planet. The horrible suffering that would go on as animals had to readapt to the wild. You just shudder to think. Anyway, it's so funny because all I wanted to do was say how comfortable and cozy I felt lying here in the back of my road track. I tidied it up. I'd forgotten when I got home last Wednesday. I left a whole bunch of clothes and stuff in here. And it needs to be vacuumed and cleaned. I'm trying to book my appointment to have it dewinterized. And lube, oil, and filter, and maybe the roof vent fixed. And I'll do that right after I get back from Vancouver so that I can go camping. But right now, in the afternoon, with the sun shining and both the rear windows cranked open just a little bit for a cross breeze, it feels so good. I was lying here listening to Weird Al Yankovic, of course, on Smooth Sailing. Thank you, boys. Enjoyed that. And it's just sheer joy. I mean, so this is the nap after the nap. I had gone upstairs. I don't think I finished that story. Yuki followed me up this time. I didn't even have to carry her. And we have a thing where, you know, I lay a little, my pajamas or something on top of these bedspreads so she can get cozy in that one softer spot. And we hold each other. Like, her little paws will go around me, or her hind feet will push up against my arm. It's very intimate, and it's very wonderful. And it's just pleasure. And maybe this is almost, you know, the way we indulge our pets is almost a counteraction to the cruelty that's inflicted on the animals we eat. I don't know, one doesn't justify the other, but it's as if somewhere we know and we have to give pleasure. Like, the reason I'm napping is because at 5:30 this morning, Yuki said, "Hey, I want out. I think it's time to go hunting." And at 5:30, I have no choice but to go downstairs because she'll just keep howling until I let her out. And then I feel guilty, and so I go back down a little later. Maybe she wants in. Of course, she wants in. And then right away, she wants back out again. And so I never get a full night's sleep anymore. And that's why I am now having, or I've just enjoyed this secondary nap. But honestly, with the bright windows on the back of this road track, the curtains all up, that little cross breeze, and I've tidied it up, and I've got little covers for the cushions. Oh, it is just sheer pleasure. It's such a wonderful, wonderful luxury. A cozy nap on a cozy sofa with a cozy pillow. So I'll end there, just a short clip, and get myself organized to go out to drink beer. Why do I do that? I was going to go early so that I could visit Circus Books and maybe find something new, because the next time you hear me will be from a different location altogether. Yeah. The Scarborough Dude. Signing off for now. Just wanted to share my nap time with you. Bye-bye.
Mama was queen of the mambo, papa was king of the Congo. Deep down in the jungle, I start banging my first bongo. Every monkey like to be in my place instead of me, cause I'm the king of bongo, baby, I'm the king of bongo bong. I went to the big town where there is a lot of sound, from the jungle to the city looking for a bigger crown. So I play my bongi for the people of big city, but they don't go crazy when I banging on my boogie. I'm the
king of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Hear me when I come, baby.
King of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Nobody like to be in my place instead of me, cause nobody go crazy when I'm banging on my boogie. I'm a king without a crown, hanging loose in a big town. But I'm a king of bongo, baby. I'm the king of bongo bong.
King of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Hear me when I come, baby.
King of the bongo.
Hear me when I come. They say that I'm a clown, making too much dirty sound. They say there is no place for little monkey in this town. Nobody like to be in my place instead of me, cause nobody go crazy when I'm banging on my boogie. I'm the
king of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Hear me when I come, baby.
King of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Hear me when I come. banging on my bongo. All that swing belongs to me. I'm so happy there's nobody in my place instead of me. I'm a king without a crown, hanging loose in a big town. I'm the king of bongo, baby. I'm the king of bongo bong.
King of the bongo, king of the bongo bong.
Hear me when I come, baby.
King of the bongo, king of the bongo
bong. Hear me when I come. Mama was queen of the mambo, papa was king of the Congo. Deep down in the jungle, I start banging my first bongo. Every monkey like to be in my place instead of me, cause I'm the king of bongo, baby, I'm the king of bongo bong. Hit me when I come.
I don't know if this is going to work, but I've just stretched out on Kenji's sofa, so I'm not going to get up and adjust the sound and turn it down. There'll be a soundtrack, and I think he's called it, I think, Sally Rides West or Sally's Ride West or something like that. He made this playlist, and it's just blown me away. It's I've liked every single song. It's gone on for a few hours, 2.5 hours maybe, and it's terrific. And it, you know, I'm so delighted that he actually put together a playlist of songs that he thought his dad would like, and it's like just stuff I don't normally hear. God, he's using Spotify. And anyway, that impressed me. And then the lunch things he pulled out of his fridge, like, I can't even describe them, but a mixture of meats and vegetables and cheeses. And he's a good cook, chef. He's very, very creative. So he's put these snacks together for me. And then I started off, all I wanted was tea, you know. And even that was a treat. But I did get on to a very, very nice BC Pale Ale. And I have the feeling tonight we'll be visiting a couple of brew pubs within walking distance from where he lives, just off Commercial. It's a neat part of Vancouver. It's low-rise buildings. There's a building on the corner. I'm going to take a picture later. It's yellow. I love yellow. And it's just an old concrete block, 3 stories high, this big yellow rectangle, and it's just so neat looking. And then a place across the tour. Anyway, it's just, it's Vancouver. I flew in this morning, of course. Flight was about an hour late. That was fine. I just sat comfortably at the airport. I was there on time. And then got on the train. I said, hey, no need to meet me at Vancouver Airport. It's ridiculous. And it turns out he was very late last night. He was a bit hungover and would not have enjoyed a trip out to the airport early in the morning. So I got on the SkyTrain all the way to Waterfront. I bought my compass card and got myself to Waterfront. And then he said, well, and I said, I could just take a taxi. He said, well, you could take a 95 bus. And I did that, and again, a nostalgic trip along Hastings, East Hastings. And just the architecture of Vancouver is just so different. And it really does feel like, wow, I really am in a different city here. This is just not like Eastern Canada at all. It does have that West Coast flair, and especially the grungier, older, rundown apartment buildings and bars and things. It's got character. I love Vancouver, and I felt the pull more this time, and I've only been here a few hours. I really felt a strong pull, like when I, you know, talk about the future and selling our house, and well, what are you going to do then? Well, one voice is saying, you know, you could always move back to BC. Anyway, he's got a great little place here, so I'm starting off, and I just wanted to, I told you, I think I said the next time you hear from me, I'm going to be from someplace completely different. And that's where I am, someplace completely different. First time in this particular apartment of my son's, and I quite like it. It's a beautiful logo he's written there. It says love, L-O-V-E, and in like Christmas lights. You know, it's just neat. It's just neat. So he's off at a wine tasting now for work. He's working at a high-end Japanese restaurant, and they make them, you know, come in for wine tastings and sake tastings, so they know what product to inform their clients about. And we're just hanging out. We're here for a couple of weeks, and that's all I want to say. I'm just going to continue to stretch out here on the sofa and listen to the music. So, boys and girls, it's yours truly, the Scarborough Dude, your host. Out back where his life took an entirely new turn when I moved out here back in 1972, the fall of 1972, starting my Vancouver life. And I've never forgotten it. Bye for now.
I can hardly breathe. Everybody's gone but me and you, and I can't be the last to leave. I'm pledging my time to you, hoping you come through too. My time to you, hoping you'll come through too.
Check, check, check. Good morning. Oh, boy. I don't know what this is going to sound like, but let me just check and see if... I can't see any of the numbers on the recording device. I'm holding my Olympus here. So let me just check, and I'll be right back. Yeah, it'll have to be good enough. I don't think I could make my voice any louder than this, anyway. It's probably 7:30 or so, Vancouver time, on Friday, Easter, Good Friday, I guess, yeah. Easter. And I'm lying on the pull-out bed in Bruce's living room. He's off in his bedroom, hopefully, sleeping it off. We had quite a day yesterday, and I'll attempt to recount some of it. Because it was fun, and that's what I do on the Dixon James podcast. I tell my stories. I was aware of how poorly I've portrayed the other characters in my life, the ones I've known forever and had the adventures with, like Barnacle Bill and the Barstool Buddha, who I spent the bulk of yesterday with. And I was kind of sorry that I don't seem able to get away from me and delve more into other people's lives. Maybe that's part of it. Because they are characters, but the two of them. So, let me come back anyway. Woke up with my sons, and he made a very, very healthy, you know, smoothie for me with a lot of kale, which he attempted to describe the taste of using other ingredients that I couldn't even name, but it was very, very good and very healthy. And then made homemade from scratch jalapeno cornbread muffins, and gosh, they were good. Just like right out of the oven. Anyway, that's my number one son, and that was something that the kind of thing he does, and it was a treat. But he had to work, so I left to take the 95 Express to Waterfront and meet up with Harold, a.k.a. the Barstool Buddha, at the Rogue, which is kind of an upscale restaurant bar in the area where the old train station used to be, and it's now the C-Bus terminal in Vancouver. Anybody who comes here would know that place, find it easily. Anyway, that's where Harold is organizing his gathering on Saturday, the Ex-Lachine gathering. Who knows how that'll turn out. But anyway, he thought he'd do a practice run, talk to the staff, make sure they had the space booked off and an assigned server for the group and so on. So it seemed a little early in the day to meet, but Harold is on a lot of medication and he needs to eat his meals at a certain time. So I walk in and just probably around 12:30, and Barnacle Bill, a.k.a. Bruce, not long after. And they've got a good selection of beer on tap, and the wonderful thing about it is they had 10-ounce glasses. So you've got a really good taste of beer. It feels like it's a full glass, full to the top, you know, just some little narrow thing, you know, it looks like a mini pint glass. And some very, very good beer. So we had a few of those. Bruce and I didn't eat. And figured, well, let's not end the day here. We were a little out of sync in our drinking. One guy'd be finished, and then, you know, somebody would have to order another to even up. And on it went. Anyway, we left there. Bruce said there's another bar, and of course, the Black Dog, I think, just a short walk away. from that area. So in we go. I figure, all right, let's have one beer here. The nice thing about it, it's got a great bar. It's got character. Looks like an old Italian restaurant. But then a glassed-in area of tables where you're actually looking outside. A view of the harbor scene. It's not scenic, it's more industrial, but it's just really nice to be sitting up against glass looking outside in Vancouver. Well, after the one beer... Oh, actually, sorry, I'm back up a little there. As soon as we left the first bar, we step outside to that very same harbor scene and light up a joint. And that just set us up very, very nicely. It was very fine weed. Get into this bar. Got kind of a neat young waitress with a bit of an edge to her. Who, you know, we exchanged a lot of smiles over a lot of laughter. And it was just fun. She was the perfect server for us. Although, I think after I announced to her that we were stoned, and that's why it was taking us a while to decide on our beer, she sent somebody else over to serve us. And I think we ended up with about three or four different people, but they all seemed to enjoy our company and said so at the end. Anyway, we're good clients. We're harmless old men, okay? Here's three old dogs sharing their adventures in their past life. Things we've done, the places we've been, and just the craziness. And what was hilarious about the whole thing was that one guy might start off a story, not knowing if the other two were going to agree with it, jump in, support it, add contradictory information, or where it would lead to. And usually it just led to a lot of laughter. I can't repeat here. And the list of adventures and this is the part that saddens me, that they are story worthy. There is so much we packed into our lives, especially in those early years out here on the West Coast, in our 20s, just ready for absolutely anything. And there was just a lot of partying. And then the other thing is just the separate ways we all ended up going. I mean, Harold ending up in Asia, nobody would have seen that coming. And, you know, working, ending up getting these very high-end jobs as a project manager at huge multinational construction sites for dams and other things. Bruce staying put here in Vancouver and holding down the fort. And now about to probably leave this very apartment and start another adventure. One of which will be our drive to Yellowknife. And of course I ended up, you know, in Japan and now back in Scarborough. Yeah, I wouldn't know where to start with the storytelling, so let's just move on with yesterday. We decided we'd be idiots to leave that bar after, you know, the first just one beer, and then we'll go rule. That got tossed out the window. Nobody seemed to be in a hurry. And we did a good job working on their beer menu. I think I ended up ordering some fabulous wings, and of course it was about half the price of the Rogue, which we had just left, and more my kind of bar. In fact, I'd go back to that bar any time. So, what do? Guess we're going our separate ways. Harold's got to get back to his nest. He's staying at his sister's place out in Burnaby. Has things to do. I figure, well, since my son's working, I'll go back to Bruce's. What do? Yeah, we hop on a bus. And then, I know. Here's a huge part of the story where it really starts to open up. Meanwhile, I'm following Shane on Twitter, and he doesn't know I'm in Vancouver. And I'm saying, hey, I'm right here. What the hell are you doing? And Shane says, I think I'm making beer today, making an IPA. And he lives basically, you know, less than a 5-minute walk from Bruce's.
So it's starting to shape up. Well, how about if we just drop over? And anyway, the invitation is open. We go over to Shane's place, and it is a very cool apartment. I had never been in this. I'm talking about Shane Burley here, who many of you know through podcasting. It was a loft-style, concrete, long, narrow apartment in a very, very neat building with a spectacular view from the roof where he took us up to. It was just amazing. I mean, you're seeing all of Toronto. It's facing the Red Truck Brewery, which is a picture in itself. And then all of Vancouver, and then in the distance, the mountains. And the view is, it's just amazing. And what's neat about it is it's co-op place. So they've just taken over and made this roof is community space for anybody who lives there. And they've got picnic tables, they've got barbecues, they've got it set up as party central. And it's got to be one of the best views in Vancouver. One of the reasons why they're not moving, Shane, and boy, oh boy. Her name has just slipped my faulty memory. I apologize. You've heard her on the podcast. She was in the living room. She was wonderfully kind to Bruce to make him feel at home as they sat in sofas. And Shane's other friend from Victoria who was there. They all, of course, partook in the joint that I hauled out up on the roof. And, I guess, yeah, we'd gone back to Bruce's first and had a beer there. Bruce, a couple of glasses of wine. Then over to Shane's for some of Shane's very good homemade beer. And then later on, another neighbor dropped by there, his beer teacher, the instructor, the man who seems to know an awful lot about alcohol. Whose name I also forget, but I'll plug those in later if need be. Interesting character in his own. And this is the wonderful thing. Here's people 25 years younger than us, 20 years younger, more. Also rich characters, diverse personalities, real people. You're just having fun interacting. And I was a bit of a zombie at this point. I wasn't saying much. I was just sitting in my chair. At a table, Shane on the other end, our beer master standing in the middle. And Victoria, friend, also, you know, part of a comedy group or improv group, I guess Shane used to be into. Sitting on the sofa with Bruce and, oh, the name just came and ran away again. It was just neat to see. And then behind them, a wall of books. A wall of books. And then Shane's beer-making equipment. So, we carry on drinking. Eventually, the beer runs low. Neighbor goes over, brings back a big growler full of cider, which was very good, very clean, and very strong. And by this point, the words get out. Let's keep going. Let's head off to the Whip. The Whip is a well-known bar in Vancouver, and it's worthy of its fine reputation. I had been there before, but not for a while. Barnacle Bill and I are wasted. We've started at noon or just after. The sensible thing is, well, all right, you guys head on there, we'll go home. I'm being told that was only 16 seats at the bar anyway. It's going to be full. It might be a lineup. It's ridiculous to walk uphill at this point. Who needs beer now? My God, we've been at it all day. We stand at the corner. We tell them to go ahead. And we walk into the bar not 5 minutes after there. They've settled down. The neighbor's got his brother there. Barnacle Bill gets a seat in the bar. The rest of us move outside to a lovely little sidewalk patio part. And I have one final beer for the night. A very, very, very good Drift. Is that the brew pub? I think the Drifters or Drift. Something from Deep Cove. A very good stout, and I was drinking stout during the day as well. I love my stouts. And we just drank the evening out, and suddenly I've got a second wind, and I'm feeling sober and great and fine and listening to stories. Me not telling them all, thankfully, but maybe sneaking in a few points here and there. But just getting to know these people a little more. So most of my time at the Whip was spent with Shane and Victoria Friend. And that's it. And then the walk home. And my goodness, I don't think I've seen Barnacle Bill that drunk for a very long time. It was a very wide sidewalk, and he needed all of it to get himself home. And by that I mean he was walking sideways most of the time. But here we are. And it's the next morning, and I'm feeling fine. It's 8. We didn't get to sleep till well after 1. And I'm ready to go. And sure enough, what's on for today? Shane says he's having a barbecue. Come on over. It's afternoon. So I'm thinking, yeah, head out, pick up a piece of meat, grab a bottle of wine, head up to that rooftop. Best view in Vancouver, rain or shine. And carry on. Saturday's already taken care of. I'll spare you that. So that's where we are. The only piece missing is Adam Greatrix. And I think I'm going to give Adam a call or a message and say, hey, how about you head on over to Shane's Barbecue? And of course, I'll clear that with Shane first. But that's what you do when you come into town. You got a lot of people you want to see. Is you just kind of see if you can bring people together. And that's what happened yesterday. That's what it was about. Shane and Bruce hadn't seen each other since the first time I introduced them my last trip out here. And yet they're neighbors, and now here they are, and the connection is strengthened, and everybody's happy. So that's my update, boys and girls. I hope you liked it. Best I could do under the circumstances. I mean, I'm lying here with my eyes closed on a pull-out sofa, covered in a sleeping bag. It's a little bit chilly, as is Vancouver, but that's what it's been about. This is still only the start of the visit. Yours truly, the Scarborough Dude, signing off.
The dog fox gone to ground. See the splashing of the kingfisher flashing to the water, and a river of green is sliding unseen beneath the trees, laughing as it passes through the endless summer, making for the sea. In the lazy water meadow, I lay me down. All around me, golden sunflakes settle on the ground. Basking in the sunshine of a bygone afternoon, bringing me sounds of yesterday into this city room. Hear the lark and hearken to the barking of the dog fox gone to ground. See the splashing of the kingfisher flashing to the water. And a river of green is sliding unseen beneath the trees, laughing as it passes through the endless summer, making for the sea. Flashing to the water. A river all of green is sliding unseen beneath the trees, laughing as it passes through the endless summer, making for the sea.